Second and 10 at the 40. Incompletion stops the clock at 7:10 remaining. Steelers trailing 20-13. Ben in the shotgun. Ball on the left hash. Bell to his left. Gets the snap. Steps up in the pocket. Throws it underneath. A check down. Here comes Bell.
Oh,
Bell.
What a block by Juju. He knocked out Vontaze Perfect. Oh, my goodness.
And markers fly. Now, what's that all about?
That's about he knocked him out. Oh, man. What a block by Juju. Juju's dad now become my favorite Steeler.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Boy, things change fast in the NFL. That doesn't seem all that long ago. When Juju Smith-Schuster came to the aid of Antonio Brown and delivered that lick on Vontaze Perfect. I don't know if you heard, but Vontaze and Mr. Big Chest are now best of pals, and Mr. Big Chest is now at odds with Juju. Can I tell you something? I don't mind it. I like a little heat. I'm going to watch Game of Thrones just like you are, and I'm not watching it to see who gets along good. I'm watching it to see the conflict. Why is it that we have to turn into such delicate flowers when guys are at odds? Rivalries are good for sports, and they make life enjoyable when you're not involved in them. That's why television, that's why movies, that's why sports can be so compelling sometimes. Anywho, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented by Zaxby's. It's the home of famous fingers, wings, and salads. Coming up in just a second or two here, one of my very favorite comedians in all the land. He has a tremendous new Netflix special called The Tennessee Kid. It's Nate Bargatze. Are you excited for that, Eddie Spaghetti Behind the Glass?
I am. I always love it when comedians come in here. I'm a very big comedy fan, as you are, so I like to watch stand-up. I did watch his, he was part of the stand-ups that was on Netflix a bit ago, and I've followed him on Twitter for a bit, so I'm excited for what Nate has to bring to us.
Yes, I look forward to catching up with him. He, of course, is based out of Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be out there in a matter of days at this point for the NFL draft. We'll get some insights perhaps on the best local fare to track down. From what I gather, though, it's hard to go wrong with food, and everywhere you go in Nashville, there's music, live music coming out of the windows of every place that you pass. I'm looking forward to seeing this town.
We got very lucky lately. You know, first we went to Austin, and that's a city known for its music and its food, and now we're going to Nashville, like another city known for its music and food. We just have to go to New Orleans. That's like the third city to music, food, and just that's the trifecta right there.
Yeah, maybe we jump in a car a little early out of Nashville, and we could head down to NOLA. Oh, never. That's my of all the cities that I've been in America, I think that's, if you can pick one place to go for 2 or 3 days, that's where I want to be. New Orleans. Nothing like it. You been there before?
I have not, but I've heard only great things.
Oh, it's so great. Speaking of great, well, okay, before we get to Nate coming up here in just a second, Spaghetti, I get it that people in Pittsburgh are raw with Antonio Brown, and people in Oakland are now embracing their new hero. I, for one, as I said, my thing with conflict is I love it as long as I'm not one of the people in the conflict. I like to poke people and see if I can get them into conflict while I stand back and enjoy my work. You know, I like when people are hot with each other.
This is, and because WrestleMania just passed us a few days ago.
That's another one.
This is, it's a perfect wrestling script because you have Antonio Brown, who now joins the black and silver, like the angry Raiders fan base, and he's becoming the heel. He's doing the heel turn. In turn, is also making Juju now like the face in this situation because he's looking as the good guy and everyone's rooting for him and they're sharing all these, you know, Twitter and Instagram posts, and everyone now seems to be just kind of over Antonio Brown and he's just kind of lost his mind, and Juju's like, hey, I've just been a good guy here and a good teammate. Everyone's like, yeah, go you, and they fit the roles perfectly now.
Well, and also you have, along with this happening, you have in Green Bay, you have Aaron Rodgers and perhaps Mike McCarthy, or is it Greg Jennings who's stirring that drink? Or up in New York, was Odell at odds with Eli, or was it with Gettleman, or was it with the long-standing anti-yacht crowd up in the tri-state area? Whatever it is, Odell's gone, and I gotta say, objectively, this is made for a compelling offseason. You know,
oh yeah,
I mean, Antonio Brown is one of the three best receivers of the Super Bowl era. I stand by that, but that doesn't mean that if he wants to make the heel turn, like you say, and go from hero into being a villain, then that makes it more intriguing for Football America.
No, I know. There's no, they always say there's no offseason in the NFL because you have, like, the combine, the draft, and all that kind of stuff, free agency. But now this has been more of, like, an NBA-type offseason because the NBA was known for, like, they have these huge personalities, and they're always interacting on social media, and they're creating these storylines. And now the NFL is taking a page out of their book. And now, like you just said, this NFL season, the offseason has been about mainly about Antonio Brown and what's been going on with him. And now it's AB versus Juju. It's now about Aaron Rodgers versus old coach and now versus former players and teammates, and now you have the Odell Beckham, who was the story of the offseason, and now it's like old news because these two news stories, and him going to Cleveland obviously was a massive story. So it's a lot more fun just at those storylines than beyond the combine, the draft, and all that stuff that we're normally used to.
Yeah, and I will I'll issue an essay on Total Access on Thursday. Be on the lookout for that one. I will do a reality check about this and why a little bit of conflict can be fun in football, just like it is in Game of Thrones or WrestleMania or otherwise. Meantime, shout out to the great Mo Damashek, the best mother on the planet Earth. It's her birthday today, and shout out to the old man as well as he heals up from his recent visit to the emergency room. Go and listen to the latest Daves of Thunder. We track down Mo Damashek. She pays a visit on her birthday to the Daves of Thunder show. Find that wherever you find your favorite podcast, and make sure you're watching all our videos. We got some good stuff coming up for you with Jack Del Rio. Jack of the River is going to pay us a visit in Studio 66. We'll chop it up with him about the state of the Oakland Raiders, and chopping wood with the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you remember that turn of the millennium event when he put a stump of wood and then he put an axe in there to inspire his team with the metaphor of, like, let's keep on chopping wood. And then it got sideways. So we'll talk to Jack Del Rio about that and some of his reminiscences. As I intend to mention to him, I think if the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing works in Hollywood, 6 degrees of Jack Del Rio would work in pro football. This guy's connected to everybody in football in the last 40 years or so. So looking forward to catching up with him. But for right now, let's get to it. Very excited about this conversation with the star of Netflix's new comedy special, The Tennessee Kid. Great stand-up in general. Find his new fall tour at NateBargazzi.com. It's Nate Bargazzi.
Dave Damashek.
Look at this. This is very exciting for me, although a little nerve-wracking, as I've said before. One of my very favorite stand-ups in all the world, and now the star of his own Netflix special, The Tennessee Kid. It's Nate Bargazzi, or Bargazzi. Yeah. That's my first question.
Bargazzi.
R-T or no?
We say Bargazzi. And then a lot of people say Bargazzi, but more like Italian-y.
Yeah.
And I think our southern accent, I honestly don't think we say our name right. Like, my family doesn't.
That would be weird.
Yeah, but we just started down this path of saying Bargazzi, and it's what it is. So it gets said a couple different ways, and I don't even know if I even notice anymore.
You're not one of those people who gets offended by...
Just like I leave, I go, well, you've already messed up. You've already messed up. I got my name and I walk out. No, I wouldn't even, I don't care or notice. You know, it's the gist. It helps when I'm standing here too, because then it's, you know, or I'm here, then you know it's me.
I hear hopefully. You. So yeah, like I say, big fan of yours for a while now.
Thank
and
you.
And love the special. And the first thing that occurred to me was when you walk out onto the stage in Netflix is your outfit.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how studied that was. Did you have counsel from the outside? Was that your wife's decision? What went into what you wear for your big, you know, breakout performance?
We had a stylist, and so she did it, and she set it up. I mean, I told her, like, what I generally wear, like just a jacket and, you know, a lot of black has a big benefit for your body if you're not just ripped. So a lot of black. What's funny is, like, the jacket I wore on the special, a guy, I tug a lot on the jacket. Like, I just can be fidgety sometimes. And a guy was like, he messaged me. He's like, the reason you're tugging on your jacket is because you're wearing a woman's jacket. because the zipper was on the left-hand side, but it's not a woman's jacket, but I wish so much it was. Cause that would nothing would make me happier.
That would be yeah.
Than to wear a woman's jacket on my big special.
It is weird because yeah, it occurred to me that it must be like yeah, there must be some background of like that you must have been sending or whoever the stylist person was. Like this is what I look like, and then they cobbled together the ultimate version of that for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, she like did. I went and tried. Like I've never had done that with a stylist or anything, and. But you think about the shoes, you think about all the stuff, whatever's going to pop, whatever your backdrop's going to be, you don't want to just be wearing exactly that. So she, you know, put all the stuff together and, you know, she knows what she's doing. Like, I have a lot of, you know, you wear jackets, it's like what you wear on stage, like even for like a tour. I've got a whole thing, I'm trying to narrow down, you just want to narrow down your suitcase. So when you travel mm-hmm. and you can just have these like select outfits, I know what it is. I could wear a uniform. I get the idea of someone wearing the same clothes every day, like Steve Jobs.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And Albert Einstein did it. And Jeff Goldblum in The Fly said yeah. that's why he does it, yeah. is because Albert Einstein did it. And like those geniuses, I have also adopted a uniform. I yeah. wear the same shirt every day. The people back there can tell you that.
I think it's great. It just is one less thing that you have to.
That's it, right? And about. I don't think you can tell me otherwise. I don't think that this shirt is wearing me. It's just like you yeah. don't even notice it.
Yeah, that's what you go for a lot. That's is right. that where you want someone just not to notice it? I even got the idea of wearing a suit on stage. Like, I mean, I haven't done it, but you want to. Just to wear a suit because you're like, it's this thing. You're just really changing ties. And then you could just wear the same suit.
Yeah, right.
I would love to be, you know.
Why don't you do it? You could still do it. There's time.
I would try a suit. I don't know. You know, my act, I don't know if it matches a suit. So you have to think about that.
See, like, that's what I'm getting out. At. That's why yeah. I'm interested in that kind of thing. Like the 80s comedian against the brick wall. You know, like with he would wear a jacket, but like his tie, but undone a little
yeah.
bit, you know.
I thought about that with no tie. Mm-hmm. If that, you know, now that we're doing some like theaters and stuff, you know, people dress up sometimes more to that. And so you want to maybe match them, or at least so they feel good, you know. You don't want to walk out. It really depends. You know, Larry the Cable Guy wears like a cutoff, and that fits his. Whatever his thing is, his persona. So a lot of it is, I like a hoodie. I wear that a lot. This is like a comedian's like uniform. Yeah. The closest for a hoodie is just, I don't know. I like being zipped up. I don't need all this out and about floating around. You like to package it up good.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, contain it. That's why I feel like this allows me
yeah.
the dark, like you mentioned. And like you say, too, or like Bo Brummel, noted fashionista of what era, I'm not sure, although I've seen the quote that the mark of a well-dressed man is one whose clothes go unnoticed. So,
oh, that's that's everything. I have a jacket now that I wear on stage. It's almost like a nicer hoodie. It doesn't have a hood, but I can zip it up and you can wear it. You have some shoes. You have some fun shoes like that.
Something
that sticks out a little bit. Yeah, Stan Smith. Right? Those are like big. Like that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's like fancy. You know, like a cool sneaker.
I think they're pretty fancy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, dude. Yeah. People. That's what people were talking about outside.
Is that right?
Yeah,
it's nice to
yeah,
know. That.
Yeah.
So, okay. So there are many things I want to talk about. But like I say, the only time, because I interview football guys all the time,
yeah.
and I'm not nervous. I'm impervious to, which is ironic given that, you know, that they're superhuman in stature and otherwise. But they don't make me, I get nervous talking to funny people.
Yeah.
So who do you get nervous talking to fellow comedians or what profession
would
makes you
make
nervous
me
to kibitz with?
I don't think you wouldn't get nervous. I mean, you like to talk to other comedians. You always want that for a show. Like, you know, people always say, like, it's like, do you need your headspace before a show? Like, do you need, and I've learned recently you want, I don't mind like talking before a show before I go up, but I'd rather talk to a comedian at that point just because I think you have a shorthand with comedians and you can know what they're talking about. I would get nervous as like when you do talk to someone that's like just difficult to talk with, like, or, if you had a, I don't know, they're not good at like being interviewed. Comics can talk. We can have opinions on almost anything. And when you have to like pull something out of someone, it's not, that's when I don't, that's the only time I would get nervous. Is like if I feel like I'm going to have to do more work than I want to. I would get nervous about it. And just a regular conversation, not even an interview. Like if I just,
oh, yeah.
A normal conversation, and I could be like, this is too much. I'm having to do too much to pull stuff out of you. Like, and I just want to get out of it.
I feel compelled to get one of those people. Like somehow it's on my shoulders to fill silence.
Yes.
It's a burden.
It's not fun. And if you're with someone, and it's not just to this, at a party, and you're talking to someone, and then they're just not giving you a
then
lot.
Do you feel like that it's you're not being interesting enough, and that's why they're not?
I know I blame it on the person.
Oh, do you?
I've gotten pretty good with that.
Like I got to learn that.
You got to learn to realize this person's a nightmare.
They're a dud, and it's not me.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing more than you should have to do.
I'm working hard, and you're not giving me anything
back. You're not giving me anything. You're just answering, like, yes, no, and then move on. And, and then so, like, it's that person. You just got to get out of that conversation. Just move on.
Okay, you're a snob. And so when you get prepared, because it's generally what, like rooms with 100 people or so in it, and when you start out, obviously much smaller. What is the difference?
Is 100 your big? Like that's where I'm at after the Netflix.
Not
special.
You.
Like,
not-
I'm selling 100 tickets. Guys, come see my 100 ticket tour. Like it's still not going that good.
I was right about you and a snobbery. See?
Yeah,
I was right. How do you get ready though? Like, how do you change your material at all to know like I'm going
it's
up
small.
In front of like 3,000 people?
No, 3,000's easier.
Really?
Then I performed for one guy once, that and we didn't even want to do it. We asked him to leave and he wouldn't leave because he was like, "No, I'll be fine. I don't care." And you're like, "Yeah, we don't. It's not you. We're worried. Like, it's us. We don't want to have to talk to one person and do our act." But at the beginning, when you start, I was in New York and you're starting, I mean, you're in front of four people almost all the time. And if there was six, you were like, oh boy, this is going to be a good one. You just got so used to it. And that's what that's why New York is so good. Cause you get so used to like that. You have to learn how to talk to six people. You have to make that very personal. Sometimes you still want to do your act and you do your act in front of these people and you just slowly, it just gets better. And then now it gets to where you are performing for, it could be 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, or still do, 40, 50. A lot of times at clubs can be like that. Like the first night could be like 50, 60 people. And that's plenty. But 3,000, like a big number is very easy because it's just, it's just so many people. And you're
somebody's got to laugh, right?
Someone's got to laugh. And you can't always, like, when it's that many people, you're not looking at them directly. When it's, like, a small amount, you're looking them in the eyes. And it's just, and they can't, the pressure on them to even sit there. And
they feel bad for you, maybe.
They're just like, hey. Like, it's brutal. But, the large numbers is wonderful.
Let's talk a little bit of sports, shall we? And you live in SEC country, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. First of all, do you root for an SEC team?
Vanderbilt.
I thought you were a Vandy fan.
I'm a Vandy
that
fan.
Must have created that must have created now over the last quarter century or more some self-esteem issues for you being in the best conference, but perennially being the worst in that conference.
Yeah, I think it's good. I always tell my daughter, I want her to, I think it's, there's a time where you can tell fans, like if someone comes up and tells you their favorite teams were like the Bulls, the Cowboys, and the Yankees, it's like they grew up in like the 90s, and you're like, that person doesn't even know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Their wins can't even mean that much to them. Because all they did was win. So it's nice to root for a team, and I'm in love with this team. Vanderbilt's everything, and then you just got this. So if you win something big, like Vanderbilt, we had a national championship in bowling, women's bowling, won two. The fact that I even have to know that, that I have to go down that far. But that was a big deal. The college baseball. We were really good in baseball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and we won a World Series in baseball. So it's very, you know, it helps you, I think, be a better fan. Like, guys that have to go there, like the Cleveland fans, Cleveland Brown fans, those guys have to really, like, now that's exciting. Their team is exciting, and everybody wants to see their team. And that's fun. They've earned it, and then, like, it's going to mean so much if they win.
I agree with you. Like, for, but my thing was a little weird because when I first became Lucid, was the height of Pittsburgh sports. Like, yeah, the Steelers were winning their final Super Bowl and the Pirates were good for the last time that they've been good, pretty much. But then in the 80s, everything bottomed out, and I thought I was owed. Like, if I'm watching sports, then you surely it ends with my team winning.
Yeah.
But then I found out that that was not the case, and that has yielded, as a grown-up, a weird, like I say, a weird sense of self-worth, you know?
I have a buddy that's a big Steelers fan. Because before we had the Titans, you just had, you know, I was a Redskins fan because I played football and we had Redskins helmets. I played my 1 year of playing football when I was like 12. I chose Art Monk's number. I was trying to choose Gary Clark's number and I picked the wrong number. So then I just had to change the guy I like because I didn't nail it. I was like 81 and I think Gary Clark was 82 or something.
84, right. 84. Close, yeah. Good.
Yeah. And then, I just was like, I'll take 81. I'm so confident that I was like, it's my favorite player and I don't know his number. So became big Art Monk guy after that. But then we got the Titans and then I kind of just moved. I like being, you want to cheer for your team of your town. And, the Titans came in, and we went to the Super Bowl out the gate, you know, and then it's been a long ride since then.
What do you think about those new Titans get-ups?
I like them. I mean, I like their colors, and, you know, I mean, Vandy's black and gold, so.
Those are pretty nice.
Yeah, they're nice. I always loved all black and all that, but it is nice to have some color, like to have a team that has some different, you know, colors.
Is it wrong to root for other SEC teams? Where do you come down on that philosophically?
I was always like, you wanted to root for the conference and you want the conference to do good. You know, in the March Madness, we just like, I wanted Auburn to go. Like, I think that'd have been fun for to see an SEC team.
I think that's incorrect. I think that you shouldn't do that.
Oh, you should be just your team and then.
Well, I mean, especially Vandy. They get beaten up by Auburn all the time. Don't you want to see that bully get beaten up by somebody else? It's my logic.
But then it helps Vandy just to be like, we're at least competing with the best. If you're then losing to them and then they're not winning either, then that's extremely frustrating. Like, we had in football for a while, now the SEC East is really built up, and Georgia's very good now. And, I mean, Florida and Tennessee, like, all these teams are always going to kind of be there. South Carolina. But there was a little bit where everybody was kind of down. And so you wanted Vandy, if they don't win those games, you're like, well, now you're not taking advantage of this. And now if they get these, they're so good, you know.
I guess it makes sense. Yeah, because then the other side of that is, right, if somebody beats you up and then they get beaten up, I guess that diminishes you.
Yeah, if you're
somebody who's not even strong.
Yeah, if your conference is, like, terrible and then you're still terrible, that's no good. At all.
You excited for the NFL draft coming up here?
I am. I love the draft. I like all drafts, but the NFL draft specifically.
Not the military one.
Not the military draft. I'm still trying to get in that. I would be funny if you were a big fan of.
Yeah, I love that thing.
You're like, oh, my neighbor got taken.
Hope my number's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I love the NFL draft. The NFL draft is it's in Nashville this year, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of the draft. I think it's the drama that goes on in the draft. It's the first round. I mean, seeing guys think they're going to get drafted and they stay there. You know, Aaron Rodgers the year when he had to just sit there all day. It's just, you know, you feel bad for him, but it's very exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. And there's always a story that's going on, and, you know, it's fun. It's very fun.
I'm fascinated by how the teams don't know who they're going to take. Like, you've had literally a full year to kind of assess who these guys are and what we need and all. But they're working the phones with, like, 30 seconds before their pick is due.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And also the move of – I also don't like the move that they call guys and they say, like, keep your phone line free because we're about to call you and draft you. Then they just don't call some of those guys.
Oh, it's
That's
brutal.
Rude, if nothing else.
It's – yeah, like, the draft should was 32 teams. It should be, like, 32 minutes long. Like, we should be, like, flying through this, like – But I get they keep it so secretive of what they want to do, and then they don't know. You know, like Kyler Murray, is he going to – if he's going to be first, now they're saying, like, he's not going to be first and he's dropping and he was a shoe-in to be first. So it'll be, you know, no idea if – are the Cardinals playing a game? Or are they not playing a game? It would be fun to be in the room to see, like, how much it changes. Like, do they end up getting a guy – you know, I remember Randy Moss, like, when he got – like, just how much he fell down and – you know, and you always want these guys. It's, you know, sometimes it's hard because you get, you know, they take linemen sometimes, and then you're like, I don't even know this guy, you know. But you, then you're like, this guy's real good. It's like someone tries to act like they know.
I
like,
love,
like,
this that's guy's the like best. I'm excited about this guy. This left guard. Like, oh, you big yeah, O-line. Big,
that's where you fan. Fit. He's going to fill the holes. And you're like, all right.
I have it on good authority. This guy leans up against other 300-pound men. The
guys
great
are
authority.
Really good at just reading someone say something. I always like to see, like, if you see comments, I read Vanderbilt Rivals message board. So I read, like, their board of who we're getting. And I can tell when people start changing words, like, they just read an article, and then they start using the word in that article.
It's
and
the
I'm
best.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, I know where you got that. But they don't ever address, like, well, I read this good article. They're just using that guy's word. And then you're like, you're just using him. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Nobody has any idea, including many pro football players,
yeah,
who's a good or bad offensive lineman. No one has any ability to assess that unless you did it yourself. The other move I like a lot with pretentious fans is when they speak up on behalf of, like, Jim Brown or Don Hudson in the 40s. Yeah. Like, you can talk about Jerry Rice and Randy Moss all you want, but don't sleep on Don Hudson. Like, are you advocating for Don Hudson for? what was your favorite game you watched him play? You never saw him play. How
never
do you know anything
him.
About him?
No idea. I just saw it with someone brought up. It was something else. I was listening to the sports talk radio, and a kid brought up someone. I don't even remember. It's pointless to like, but the guy called him out and said, like, how old are you? He's like 19. You're like, what do you know? You're talking about a guy that you've never even heard. You weren't alive when this guy played. And he's just like, well, that was our guy. And they just go with whatever. Sports fans are, it's pretty spectacular. Like, how mad they get when they call in. When they call in radio shows, it's brutal. They shouldn't take calls. Because guys, you will call in and just take their time like it's their show. And then they're like, I got like four questions. And you're like, we're never going to make it to your four. Like, I do not care. You're in your car listening to the radio because we can't even hear you because the radio's up. And then you're like, give me like 25 minutes, you know, before they even get to what they want to ask.
I like, though, see, I'm going the other way. As you can, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a tough guy. I think I kind of define machismo in the 21st century, but I'm against the jersey swap and stuff like that. I don't like that. That's too familiar for me. I would like them to at least pretend like you see in Game of Thrones. Well, Game of Thrones, we love the conflict. It's not that they're getting along. It's that they're at odds. And wrestling, they're at odds. And yet people get very upset when football players argue these days. They want them to get along. And I don't understand that kind of woke attitude about that.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it got the jersey swapping was like when it was happening at the beginning, it was like, there would be times you're like, oh, that's cool that they're doing it. But now it's like it is. Dwayne Wade is just the other day they had a clip of him and he had to tell someone, I'm already trading my jersey with someone else. Like, that's how much it's had. So then you're like, well, this is too much now.
Right.
Like, it's just understood that, like, he's not leaving with any jersey he's worn in that game. And it can't be – when it gets that far where you're just expect, like, oh, I'll do the jersey thing too. You're like, now there's too many of them. It's like people signing autographs where they can say some autographs are worth more because this guy never signed autographs. So if you got his autograph, it's a very small thing. And that's how it should be with the jerseys, where it should be – very rare, and just you can't just be swapping with everybody.
Well, what about, though, the other side of that is, what about, like, you and Pete Holmes same night? Let's swap whatever's, you know,
swap. Oh, like, what would we swap?
Hoodies.
What comics would you even swap? Our hoodies,
yeah,
or like,
think about
just
that.
Like, go and
get
yeah,
in
we
on
could,
that.
You know, I write a card out. For every show I do, I put like bullet points and I write where I'm doing the show at. And I've kept these cards for, you know, I've done this for 16 years. So I have cards from 2004, three, like, and it's just my set list. I gave one once to a guy after the show, like on stage. I don't know, he didn't care at all. It was so funny to give him a card. And he's like, he doesn't want it. It's like, I'm like, nobody.
Thought you were asking him to pay his
like,
bill
I'm
or
like,
something.
I'm like, here you go. You can, you may autograph it. He's like, I don't even want this. No, I don't. All right. And I thought it was like something. I don't know why I did it. I asked an audience once for questions and they said no too. So you take a lot of risk. That was recent. That was at Florida State. It was like, any questions? And nobody had a question. And that's sometimes really, like Seinfeld asks questions because you do have questions for him. But for me, they're like, nah, we're good, man.
what is the, as you go around the country, what's the funniest part of the country to visit?
I don't know. I mean, you get like, the funniest to me is when you go to a town and there's just nothing around. Like it'll be like just the comedy club and you're just be staying at a hotel on a highway. And you don't have a car. It was Winnipeg in Canada. Like you would stay, and so a lot of comedy club centers will have condos that they purchase, and then they put every comic in those condos. It's the worst. That's the first thing if you have any success is like, I'm not staying in a condo. That's all you.
That's
you know.
Weird because it seems. Like a paradox, I guess in theory, I'd rather be somewhere where only strangers have been. I wouldn't want to know like, oh, who was here last week? Like, I know that guy. I don't want to know.
Actively cleaning it.
Yeah.
Which is what a hotel brings to the table is just.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
People, they're at least cleaning it. And then this one, every comedy club is, they're like, our condo's real good. That they always say that. And that's never, it's never true. And then you're just, like, in a condo with, like, regular people. Like, you don't live in that town. The one state in Winnipeg, it's, like, an old person's home. And so it's just, like, old people, then you. And then you have to walk across the street. And, like, you'd have to go. There's, like, a grocery store, and you have to walk to a parking lot. You always tell a comic, if you ever see a comic on the road, they're walking to a parking lot. They're never going to a car. It just, like, keeps walking. And if you watch them, I was like, I think it looks weird. You look like a divorced dad, too, because you end up, like, walking. You got, like, a roll of toilet paper and, like, a six-pack of beer and just walking through a parking lot. Just, like, you just got kicked out of your house and you had to get some weird condo just to.
Do you like, but I, you know, because I've traveled a little bit with around football America. And, you know, ideally you think like, oh, this will be great to sample what America has to offer and the unique gifts that this particular town has to contribute. But it ends up being more often than not like fast food. Is that your experience?
Yeah, it's all fast food. Yeah. I mean, I like fast food, so I just go to it. A lot of chain restaurants. You try to go visit sometime, but you get in small towns. I went to sports going to small town. I went to Marshall, because I'll go to games too. Sometimes you can get there and they have a game during the day. And I went to Marshall University, watched a game there. It was freezing. Marshall versus Tulane. And we just walked in. We didn't have tickets. And we just walked by. And it was a very vibe of like, they didn't care. I mean, no one, you know, like Chad Pennington or Randy, like they were, no one of that stature was there at the time. And just going to watch a Marshall Tulane game.
Are you a, where do you come down on the Predators? You like
Predators
that town? Thing. Are you?
Yeah.
It's weird. It doesn't sound right when you think that there would be that hockey would be super popular.
They're on
in
board
Tennessee.
With it. I went to game six at the Stanley Cup. We lost to Pittsburgh. But they, you guys were,
I saw that
deserve
game.
Another
I
chance.
I watched that.
You know, you guys should win more.
We'll see.
I saw Sidney Crosby. That was fun.
That was neat. I'm
and
sure.
Then,
yeah.
It was cheaper to fly to Pittsburgh and buy a ticket in a hotel than it was to get one ticket.
Really?
That's
it's
how
that
much
crazy,
tickets
huh?
were. That crazy, but I still wanted to be a part of it. They shut down Broadway. That was very frustrating to me during that time because I felt like they kept being like, "Well, Nashville's not a hockey town." You're like, "What else do you want us to do?" we shut down our street to watch it. Like, how much more excited do you need us to be? to show you that like we're on board with it. They're watching it. We're following along. You know, it's a sport that we didn't know all the rules to. We weren't watching it growing up. But now that the Predators are there, they're a great team, and everybody's excited about them, and we're rooting for them.
My only knock on them is the name isn't very imaginative.
Yeah.
It's like they spent 4 minutes tops trying to do that. Like, we want a beast, a fierce beast that will intimidate our foes, like a predator of sorts. Which predator? You know,
just all of them.
Let's just do all. Let's
we're
just
doing
get
all
out.
Predators.
Let's get out. Let's just. Now we're done.
Titans. They voted on what they were going to be, and one of them was the Tennessee Tuxedos. I remember that.
Now that would have been good.
That would have been good.
People don't miss this all the time. Do you know that the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
Are named after Buffalo Bill Cody.
He's
the guy who shot all the buffaloes.
Oh yeah.
This is a city now, again, named for the buffalo, the majestic beast that once roamed the plains. Then the local football team is named after the guy who tried to kill all those buffaloes.
All the Bills,
it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
What sense does that make?
It doesn't. But I don't know how many people are looking into it.
Probably not actively. That's why I'm glad
it's
we're having
you
this conversation.
Bringing it up to everybody.
Yeah. Also, as far as predators go, it occurs to me that Nathan is like David. It's a name that is out there. Everybody has heard. But I've lately been putting together my list of names that exist among living human beings, but that no one has been given in the 21st century. Do you think anybody's been given the name Nate, who is 20 years old or younger?
I have a nephew named Nate.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to cross that one
it's
off the list.
It's already knocked down.
All right. Cross that one off.
Nathaniel is the...
Oh, well, see, that's a little bit different, but okay.
Yeah, I go Nathaniel, then Nathan, then Nate, and I've been all three.
That's right, I learned that on your...
Yeah, I talk about my joke, one of the jokes of my special, but like I was always... we spelled Nathaniel A-E-L, and a lot of people do I-E-L, so that's different.
I don't like that. Well, I mean, I don't like the name when people try to give unique names because I think your parents are trying to do you a favor by distinguishing you from everybody else. But then you end up spending an inordinate percentage of your life explaining the different spelling on your name and everything else, you know?
I have trouble. I started like with Starbucks because that's always like you have to give them your name. And I've started saying Nathan because it's just easy. I'll say Nate and it doesn't go through. Some reason. And I don't think it's not uncommon, but I don't know if I say it too quick or with my accent. And so I've had trouble there.
Nate.
So now I just say
Nate,
Nathan.
Nate, though, is like, that's the other category within that is like, they're names that are good for a grown up, but not for a baby.
Yeah.
And then there are names that are great for a baby, like
Alfred. Like,
Alfred.
If a baby would be very weird.
He's adorable.
But
what's
he'd
his
come in,
What's his name? Grant. Like, that's weird.
It's a weird
name for a baby, you know?
And then they get in their 40s and 50s, and it really comes together.
Like, Carl's the best, but if you're born as a 52-year-old man. But, like, Carl the baby, nobody would ever do that.
I don't think I've ever seen a Carl the baby.
I don't, but there but
there has to be.
The math indicates that there has to have been Carl the baby.
Carl the baby would be pretty fun.
It's like Linda.
Yeah.
Linda the baby.
I feel like Carl the baby would not need help from his mother. He would
just come out,
be on his own, and just, smoking cigarettes, just out the gate.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way it can go. I can't imagine that, but then again, short-term buzz, we have, look at little Toby. He's such a cute little baby, but you're not doing him any favors when he's 28. Toby. That's no way to try to go through life.
He gets, as a baby, it's good, and then he gets beat up by a Carl.
Right.
Who's had it? Who's really, been in it?
Gary the baby.
I know a Gary. Yeah, and he looks, and he's younger than me, but he looks older.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn.
Glenn's.
I can
weird
just sit here all day and keep doing it.
And just go.
You know what?
Dennis. Dennis was one of my favorite names. Like sometimes, like as comics, you think of what's a good name.
Yeah.
That's a funny name, and Dennis was always a very funny name to me. Dennis, I feel like, is a name that like he's living, he's with a woman, but they're not his children. They're like Dennis. Dennis never gets to just be called dad. It's always Dennis, you know. Is and he's like, come on, I've been here. Your real dad's gone. Carl never was here. And then Dennis has to come in and raise these kids.
Yeah. Come on, Justin. Dennis is doing his best. It's,
yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's trying to be there for you. Come on. Meet him halfway, won't you? You know? All right, Linda. Like, don't call me mom. You don't call me by my first name.
Yeah.
You know, that's the rotten kid that Linda has now raising it with Dennis, right?
Yeah.
Dennis is now the step.
Dennis is now the step.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, I would like to, have you ever seen Inside the Actor Studio?
Yeah.
I like that questionnaire that he does at the end. So let's do that with you. It's Bernard Pivot's questionnaire. It's supposed to get at who you are at the core.
Okay.
What's your favorite word?
I don't know. Dadgummit. It's a very Southern word.
Okay.
Like, you know, my dad always said it, and I said it. And yeah, I like if you say it like out, like in California, people just don't even know. Like they're just like, I don't even know what that is. It's just a very funny.
Do it in tone your voice how you would typically
dead-gummit.
Use it.
Dadgummit. Like that's a, you know, it's a lot of the golfing. Like if you golf, you hit a bad shot, you're like, dadgummit. And you just say it quietly. You don't even think you realize you're saying it. But I think people around you notice it and they don't care for it.
What's your least favorite word?
Golly, there's, man, I don't know. I'm trying to, I don't know.
You're so positive. You don't even have a least
favorite word. No, I would have,
Dennis?
What's like Dennis, but the words that, you know, are used a lot, like now with like young, like on social media, there's a lot of like, you know, what they say clapping or the, I don't know. There'd be a word somewhere.
I feel, it hit me. I really am like, have suddenly, it just, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I thought it would be a slow devolvement into just being like an older square. But it just like all of a sudden happened. I have no idea who, I pick up like Us Weekly and I look at it and I just straight, well, like who wore it better? I don't even know who either of those two people are that are wearing it to begin with. You know?
Yeah.
Who are they, these two people in these outfits?
And it's weird. I don't care about the outfits. I always like when they say, when it shows them those shopping, like a celebrity.
Because they're like us.
How is that one? I'm always like, I kind of don't mind this.
Do you think that you're going to be, have you already shown up in one of those kind of pictorials?
Oh, no, that, no. I had a guy.
That's going to happen for you.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready. I had a guy once in for TMZ. I was outside a comedy club here, and me and a buddy was there, and he was like, he said he was with TMZ. He's probably trying to get like a famous comic, and so he came up to us, and he's like, just ask some questions, and then we answered his questions. He asked us, and he was like, all right. He's like, we'll see what happens. He's like, I've got nobodies on before, and that's what he said to us. He just called us nobodies, and we were like, you asked us to come. We didn't ask you to be on this, like. And he just said it like, all right, man. Like, I mean, not even
an
ounce of like, I'm uncomfortable calling these two people. I don't know nobodies. Just almost like, obviously, you know what that means. It's a word in the trade that we're in and that we would be like, oh, we appreciate that, man. We appreciate. Thank you. I hope we get on.
I do like the idea of you showing up in a future Us Weekly. At Starbucks, like, no, it's Nathaniel they're just like us.
Just causing a big scene?
Starbucks, name misspelled on the cup.
And I'm just throwing it back at them.
It's just like us, right.
Just like us.
You'll be so relatable.
And it was like, I don't, I've never seen that.
Your favorite drug?
I don't know. Like cocaine or like
Pivo is asking, really. I'm just the conduit.
Heroin, probably. Okay. I've never done heroin, but I bet if you did it.
It's got the best nicknames. Smack.
And the people that do it seem to like it a lot.
That's what
So
they made movies about it.
Yeah, so it's got to be, not even knowing it, but I can imagine. It's so good that they're like, don't even try it because you can't get out of it. So that, you know, yeah, that would be a good one.
What sound or noise do you love?
My daughter laughing is like a fun, you know, like really uncontrollably laughing.
Does she think you're funny?
She does. I don't know. I don't know how much she completely gets it, what's happening. But she will, it's funny to get, you get, she asked, because she asked me if the stories were true recently, because she said her friend said they weren't, and she said they were, and so she asked me, and they are, and then I've made her laugh, but to make her laugh is that you just have to, like, I'll read her a book, and, like, and she knows the book, and then I'll say words, like, I'll say them different, like, you know, it's a lot of, like, just say, like, toot or fart, yeah, like it's stuff like
poop
that.
Poop and all that stuff is the
it's
best.
It's just like it destroys.
It really does. It's universal and it's solid gold for them. It's weird though because my kids tell me that lately I was flattered initially a couple months ago, one of them, and then the other, they started to pick up on it. They would say, like, "You're a funny head, Daddy. You're a funny head." Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, that's so thank you. That's very nice of you." And then I've since realized they mean that as a pejorative. Like, it's like, you're a silly head. Like, you know, you're a dumb, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I feel small again. But, but for a while it was nice.
You know what I just realized the word I don't like?
What's that?
I just said poo. When people say poo instead of poop.
I am with you on that.
Yeah. It really got out of control. I never heard it in my whole life. And then people started saying it. And it really took a...
I'll do another one along those lines. Panties.
Oh, yeah.
It's because now it's bled into, like, how we describe younger people, too. Like, but hey, you know, to, like, my little girl, like, put, you know, I'm not going to call them. I'll put your underpants on. Your underwear. You
your
know?
Underwear.
Should sound more utilitarian in my opinion.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. Yeah, panties.
I don't know why. That makes me skittish. What sound do you hate?
Horn honking. I'm not a fan of. I never like, even like, if you have a car where you hit the button to lock it, and one car, it's a very loud horn, and I think it's like inappropriate.
Yeah. Too much.
We're just locking the door. It's like, I don't need, you know. It's like my car's like walking out, being like, "Hey, everybody, it's about to be a loud sound." You know, like they make that announcement, they're about to explode something. You ever been near an area where they're like,
"Yeah, right."
Just so you know, we're about to demolish this building. I feel like it can be like that, where it's just like, we're locking the door. I want everybody to hear it. If it's like midnight and you're like, "I didn't lock the door," and you forget, and you have to go do it, and it's just like insanity, you know. Just a loud horn. You know, it's like, do a softer horn that's like, "It's locked, don't worry, you're good."
Well,
a little acknowledgement that's like, "It's locked."
Yeah, it
but
can
not
be just
like,
between you and the car.
I don't want my neighbor to be like...
Heard
you didn't,
door locked.
Forgot to lock your car last night.
We were waiting.
We had to pull trash cans down our driveway too, you know, like at night.
Uh-huh.
And, that's very loud. I don't care for that.
I agree with that, too. I try to be a good neighbor and not do it after a certain hour.
Yeah.
I don't like when my 21st century car tries to be overly helpful. Like, it's like a doting, like, you know, it like keeps dinging if I don't have the seatbelt on, if I'm just running to the drugstore around the corner. Like,
or in a parking
ding,
lot. Yeah.
Ding, ding.
I try to wait it out sometimes because I'm like, I can get through this.
Right.
And it's pretty good.
It stays on you.
It stays on. Like,
sometimes it'll go away and you think, like, I beat it.
Yeah.
Comes back for more.
I read you could press I remember someone saying you could press just the thing that you press to unlock the seatbelt. You press that down and that would make it not. But that's not true. That's never worked. And I've tried it multiple times.
And that's
times.
Also waving a white flag anyway.
Yeah.
You want the victory.
We have a car that doesn't beat. With
really?
The seatbelt. Yeah.
I resent that. Like, say,
it's
you know, thank you.
I'm in a parking
lot.
At some point,
you know, when I need my mom, I'll call her in Pittsburgh. I don't need your help, car.
I don't,
You know?
If I don't want to buckle, then that's fine.
What's your favorite curse word? You famously do not swear.
I don't curse, yeah.
Ever in life?
No, just, I mean, on stage. Like, but I try not to be a reason. I'm not just a maniac. I don't like curse in front of my parents. You know, that'd be like the dead gummit again.
Mm-hmm. That's the replacement for
that's
it.
That's the
right?
replacement. I say stinks instead of sucks. Like this sucks. You know why? Because when Karate Kid came out, the old one, I remember my parents say sucks now. But they were very big about me. I was the oldest child, not listening to any like bad stuff. And I'll never forget my dad told someone who's like, watch Karate Kid. He was like, is it okay to like take your kids? And he was like, they say this sucks one time, but besides that, it's good. And now sucks stuck in my head from then, just overhearing that. And I don't say it at all. And I don't even like when someone says it now. Like, and I'll say stinks. This stinks. And I like stink a lot more than.
I like that. I think it's just as powerful, really.
Yeah, it's different. You always try to, whatever you feel everybody's saying, that's when it's time to change it up and you start saying something different. Mm-hmm. And then that will stand out more.
That's interesting, because I was going to say, you would think in comedy it seems like that one of the tentpole things is to surprise people, to shock people on some level, and to be inappropriate. That would be a major thing to take off the table from yourself before you start.
Yeah. Well, this stinks is, I mean, that's the benefit of being clean, too, is I've had to choose words that are different, and that can change your rhythm of how you tell a joke. Rhythm is like a lot. Like, timing is a big thing. So, like, how you say stuff, and I'll say real bad a lot, like, or, you know, like, this is really good or real good, or like in some of that little extra rhythm. And then you're just saying something a little different than everybody else is saying.
I completely agree with you about this. You do it obviously much more successfully, but yes, being colloquial like that also then ironically gives you more room to talk about subjects that would be inappropriate otherwise. Yeah. If you are more retro,
you can
language.
I tell people, you can talk about a lot of things, just do not curse. Cursing is the, you know, it's the red flag that everybody sees
that you're inappropriate for this atmosphere.
Yes.
Right,
look at, I mean, Seinfeld, the TV show, like my best show ever, but they talk about so much stuff in that show, and they just don't mention it. And the, you know, the contest is like the biggest, one of the biggest shows ever. And that's about that show could be raunchy, that episode. Mm-hmm. And it's not, because they're choosing to use different ways to describe it that are a lot funnier than just mm-hmm. getting straight to the point.
Last one is, we'll jump over some of these other ones. Although I would love to know what your profession would be if you weren't a comedian. But if heaven exists, what do you hope God says to you at the gates?
My profession, I would just be like moving people.
Just a mover?
A mover. Like, yeah, whatever non-college educated job. And then for what do you hope God? I mean, just, you know, that he welcomes you in. You hope that he's like, oh, you don't want him to be like, he's not supposed to be.
He doesn't need to gild the lily, in other words. Just, you know.
Well, you don't want it to be like an accident. You don't want the words to be like, how did you get here?
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I thought I was supposed to be. And he's like, it's a miss.
Oh, I'm glad you engaged me.
Yeah.
Nathaniel, is it? You know, like, I'm glad, because, yeah, I don't see if you hadn't. If
like,
I,
it's a list and your name's, like, your name's not on the list. I hope he says your name's on the list.
Yeah, that's it.
And then
just
then,
go in
and
then no
in.
Questions.
And then just,
you know?
And just be like, thank you. Don't ask a lot. Don't cause a scene, especially there. Just, you know, just be like, you're there. You're
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I hope there's a future occasion that I can kibitz with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on animated movies of the 21st century. I assume with your daughter, you're taking those in. Many other subjects, the Tennessee Titans as 2019 approaches and so on.
Very good.
In the meantime, a fall tour for you coming up, right?
Big fall tour.
Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, my website, NateBargatze.com. You know, you can figure it out. People should be able to figure it out by now.
I've gotten a keen. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like they always think they're, you know, it's like they're, especially Bargatze even is hard to spell, but like just, I've been around enough that you can start it and you should get there. And if you can't, then you should probably shouldn't be coming.
That's
anyway.
An achievement by itself. Yeah.
Just
if
to
you
be,
go
yeah.
Nate BA, like you got to be
there's,
in the top.
It's
there's
yeah,
football
it's
in, player and NFL Network employee Nate Burleson. I wonder
yes,
who
I get
comes
his.
Up first. If you go Nate B, do you come up or does Nate Burleson come up first?
He could come up. I mean, he did.
I'm gonna take.
Good.
I'm gonna try that out afterwards and see what works.
I see his name on like if you type in my name, that comes up. So go see me or him, either one.
And in the meantime, check out Nate Bargatze's stand-up special on Netflix. It's the Tennessee Kid. And as I said, as you came in here, we collectively here at the NFL, all who've consumed it have wildly enjoyed it. So congrats on
thank
that.
Thank you. By the way, there's no one in this room. He just said everybody's on board with it. And he's like, look, everybody loves it. This audience that we have here. Just,
but it's like, you know, it's mind's imagination, you know.
Yeah, they don't know. They're like, man, I bet there's a lot of people in that room, and that means they liked it.
I got to check that out, you know, because I follow what the pack says. But now you just ruined that whole thing.
Never mind. I messed everything up.
All right. Well, listen, either way, Nate Bargatze, make sure you check it out. Netflix, Tennessee Kid, and afterwards, I hope you'll give me a little list, not of your stand-up set, but of the best restaurants and such to go to in Nashville for the big draft. Nate Bargatze, everybody.
That's Dave Damashek.
I enjoyed that spaghetti. What did you think?
He was great, and I know you always say how you get nervous with the comedian types because you're afraid you have to be as funny as them or kind of.
The problem is that I know I'm not going to be as funny as them.
Whatever. I feel.
I'm not trying to compete.
But
a losing proposition.
Would you agree that out of any comedian to hang around with and talk with, he was like he would be the one guy who wouldn't actually make you feel nervous by that because he had a very disarming cool, chill vibe, like smooth attitude with us when he was saying, I mean, he was here for a while with us just talking about whatever.
I found him to be a delightful fellow, that's for sure. Yeah, enjoyed that, and hopefully we can catch up again somewhere down the line. But all right, like I say, coming up later in the week, we have Jack of the River, Jack Del Rio himself. Spaghetti, one question we have to get to. Who's his favorite Jacksonville Jaguar running back? Fred Taylor? Natrone Means, or perhaps even
our friend Maurice Jones-Drew.
It could be Maurice Jones-Drew. We'll see. We'll find that out from Coach Jack Del Rio. Also be on the lookout for our video show, also coming up on Thursday. Track that down. NFL.com/DDFP. You can watch that pretty much any week, but it streams live at what? 1:30 p.m. Pacific, Spaghetti?
It's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6
o'clock. I was close.
Yeah. Glad you know.
6 p.m. Eastern is the live stream if you want to watch it. Along with us there, like I say, track it down. NFL.com/DDFP. Back for more Hooey and Applesauce later in the week. Till then, thin slice of heaven.